feel free to stand.
Yeah.
247, He hideth my soul.
Shadows of dry nursery. So last time I spoke here, I think was in July of this year. And at the time I talked about God, the creator of all things. And I talked about some of the characteristics of God and his power. And if we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you can see the world that he has created, and he could not have done that unless he had great power. And then in the rest of chapter 1 of Genesis, it talks about how God made the world and everything in it. And in verse 31, he looked down at the world that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. But we also read in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, the last part of the verse, it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. First of all, it talks about God, and then it talks about the Spirit of God. And this morning, I want to talk about what the Scriptures have to say about the Spirit. And it is surprising what we find when we read about the Spirit. And we will find that there is more than one Spirit that it talks about in Scripture. There are many verses that include the word Spirit. But we also find that it has different meanings depending on how it is used and where it is written. When we look up the definition of the word Spirit, we have three different meanings of how the word Spirit is used in Scripture. And then we also find out there is not one Spirit that it talks about, but three different spirits that Scripture talks about. One example of the Spirit that we find in Scripture is a personal Spirit. And that is our own Spirit. And that one is determined by your state of mind or your mood. It has to do with personality and behavior. And you basically control your own Spirit. And it is not always necessarily right or wrong in itself, but as a person, you have some control over your spirit. You have control over your state of mind, your mood, and your behavior. I also recognize that there are some things that influence your mind, your thinking. For example, there is such a thing as dementia and Alzheimer's, and I think that's very common, and it's unfortunate that they're around. And they influence how you think or don't think. But for the most part, if you're not subject to those, for the most part, you have control over your own personal spirit. And some examples of a personal spirit we'll find in Genesis chapter 41 and 45. If you turn to Genesis 41, the last part of verse 7, it talks about a man called Pharaoh. It says, Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He had a dream when he was sleeping. And in verse 8, it says, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And this is nothing to do with God's spirit or the evil spirit. This is his own spirit. It was troubled because he had a dream. And I'm not going to go into the dream because it would be take. Would, I do not have time for that. But then we also read in these chapters that a young man called Joseph was brought to Pharaoh, and he interpreted the dream. And when he had interpreted the dream, Pharaoh's spirit was at peace. He was no longer troubled by his spirit. But what he also did, he put, because Joseph interpreted his dream, he put him in charge of all of Egypt. And those, if you know that story, you know what I'm talking about. But there's an example of a personal spirit that is influenced by a dream. Turn to Genesis chapter 45, verse 27. It says, and they told him all the words of Joseph. Now this is again talking about the Joseph that interpreted his dream. And here his brothers are talking to him. And he and they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons with which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Now, without going through the background to this, is a situation where a man called Joseph, who is the father, a man called Jacob, who is the father of Joseph, had previously been told that Joseph was dead. And for the rest of his time after that, Jacob thought his son was dead. Because that is what he had been told. Now he is told that Joseph is alive. And he is taken to his son Joseph. And when he found out that he was alive, his spirit revived. And I think we could identify with that if we're told that our children, one of them had died, and we never saw him again, could not bury him or anything, and then all of a sudden found out he's alive and well. I think our spirit would also be revived. In the Psalms and Proverbs, we have many verses that talk about our personal spirit. Now, just one example we find in Psalm 51, verse 10. Here the writer of this psalm is praying to God, and he prays to God and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here the author is asking God to create in him the right spirit, not the wrong one, but the right one, so that he would have a desire to do that which was right. So we can ask God to renew our spirit within us, but ultimately it is our responsibility what we do with our own personal spirit. We know what is right and wrong, and we make our decisions accordingly. And we do that with our thoughts, decisions, our behavior. Now, just one word about our personal spirit. If we do something wrong, and I experienced this not too long ago, someone did something that was very bad. It was totally wrong, and they knew it. And they made that decision to do that. And when they were confronted with it, they said, oh no, I didn't do that out of my own self. The devil made me do it. No, he did not. It was a decision that that person made knowing that it was wrong, yet it was still done. So we cannot blame the devil for decisions that we make ourselves knowing what is right and what is wrong. And that brings us to the next definition of the word spirit, and it is not a very pleasant one. It is a supernatural being as a demon or a devil. And that spirit comes from the devil himself. If we go to Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus 19, verse 31, it says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards." And in verse 20, verse 6, that again it says, "And the soul that turneth after such as the familiar spirits and after wizards." Here it's talking about the spirit that comes from the devil. And it calls it familiar spirits, but it's really evil spirits. And there are supernatural entities that would assist witches in practice of magic. They are also considered demons. And an example of that we have in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1 and 2, it talks about a man called Manasseh. It says, "He was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem." And then in verse 2 it says, "But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." This man did evil in the sight of the Lord, because he had the evil spirit within him. And how evil was he? In verse 6, it says, "He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he observed times, and he used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirits, with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Here he was filled with an evil spirit. He sacrificed his children for evil spirits. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, we have an example of where Jesus casts out evil spirits or devils. In verse 24, it talks about how famous Jesus was because of what he did. And he says, "They brought unto him sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, torments, and those that were possessed with devils. And he healed them." So he not only could he heal them from diseases, he could heal them and cast out evil spirits and devils. And we also read in Luke chapter 22, where it tells us, "Satan entered Judas Iscariot, and then he agreed with the chief priests to betray Jesus." Now Judas made that decision to betray Jesus, but he did it because Satan entered him. He was possessed by the devil. Now, how do we know where this evil spirit is? Well, in 2 Corinthians 11, it tells us Satan can be transformed into an angel of light. He can appear to be an angel of light, yet he is evil. It also tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, Now, Scripture talks about the first two points I have mentioned. We should be aware of them so that we can guard ourselves against spirits that are not good. The evil spirit comes from Satan. He has been there from the beginning of time. And that goes back to when he deceived Adam and Eve. And that brings us to the third definition, and that is the creative power or the divine influence of God. Now, when we read in our catechism, there's a verse about who is God. And it talks about how God is omnipotent, which means he has unlimited power. And through his spirit, God initiated creative power. And we can see that from Genesis 1, verse 2, where it talks about the spirit of the Lord passed over the waters. First of all, he made the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And then it tells us the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, another thing that we find in Scripture, it is interesting that when we read about God, the real God, it is capitalized. It also talks about other gods, but it never capitalizes that word when it talks about other gods, only if it talks about God. And so it is with the Spirit. When you read in Scripture, you can use that as a guideline. If it talks about the Spirit with a capital S, it's talking about God's Spirit. When you see the word Spirit with a lowercase letter S, it is not talking about God's Spirit. It's either talking about an evil spirit or your own personal spirit. And the Holy Spirit is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, the verse that I read, in verse 2 of Genesis. But if we go to the New Testament, the first place we find the Holy Spirit mentioned is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And this is where Jesus is baptized. In verse 16, it tells us, after he was baptized, he came out straightway out of the water. The heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this is the first place we are introduced to the Holy Spirit in Scripture, where Jesus is baptized and the Spirit of God descends upon him. This same Spirit, and now this is rather interesting, the same Spirit also led him into the wilderness. In chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 1, it says, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And here it says, it uses the word Spirit with a capital S. So that means the Holy Spirit from God led him into the wilderness to do what? To be tempted. And I'll talk about that later in my second message. But with the Spirit, Jesus was also able to do miracles because he was filled with the Spirit. He had power over devils. And that same Spirit is also available to us, to all those who believe in Jesus. In John chapter 3, Jesus also talks about the Spirit. First of all, he talks about being born again. But in verse 5 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And that Spirit, again, is capital S. So water is what we use for baptism. The Spirit is what we receive from God. That Spirit is not only for our salvation, but it is there to lead us and to guide us and to comfort us and to teach us about the truth of God. In John chapter 14, verse 16, here Jesus is talking, and he is telling us about another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit that comes from God. Verse 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that comes from God, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This Spirit is available to all of us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it talks about that Spirit and how available it is to all of us. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 2 says, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now this is a situation where the disciples have just been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those that are listening, that are there. And verse 17, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So that Spirit is available to all of us. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It is a wonderful thing that this Spirit can do, and it is available to us. And what else will the Spirit do? Well, Romans chapter 8 also talks about the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Without accepting Jesus Christ, we are doomed for death, spiritual death. But if we have Jesus Christ within us, he hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And if we go to verse 11, it says, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in him. So that same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave will also give us life. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if we go to 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with them, that we may also glorify together. Now, those are a few things about the Spirit. There is much more to read in Scripture about the Spirit, but briefly, Scripture tells us, first of all, that God is invisible because he is a Spirit. And I read a verse out of John chapter 4, and I will read it again. There's an interesting part in that verse. John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now the spirit is mentioned twice in this verse. First of all, it talks about the spirit, God is the spirit. The second word spirit is not capitalized. So there it is talking about our own personal spirit. And what it is saying is that in our decision whether or not we want to worship with our spirit, we make that decision ourselves with our own spirit whether or not we want to worship God or not, or do not want to worship God, who is a spirit. Now God has given us that spirit, that personal spirit, and we must decide, first of all, whether or not we want to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and also whether or not we want to worship God through our own spirit and worship him in truth. So God has given us our own spirit. He also is a spirit. And the spirit that comes from God, it is our decision whether we accept it or not. So in closing, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you that it is poured out in all those that accept Jesus as their Savior. We thank you for their promise to be with us, to guide us, to give us comfort, and to give us the opportunity and the freedom to worship you in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I also would like to give everyone the opportunity to go to God in prayer. So before we continue, let those that are able, let us all kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Now, I don't know if you were staying for the second part of the service this morning, but if not, I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our service and the worship. And I will now close the first part of our service with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.